From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made when a child encounters someone who is different from them in some way. Maybe it's the first time a child has seen someone in a wheelchair, or the first time a child has been in a classroom with a child from a different racial background. The Irondequoit Public Library has a plan to make those moments smoother, a little easier. It's called Social Justice Storytime, also known as the United Stories of America. The stories are designed to promote compassion and self-acceptance among parents and among preschool-aged children. It's coming via the result of a grant from the Rochester Regional Library Council. And this hour, we're having a conversation about how kids learn about differences, how we learn self-acceptance, how about the strengths that come from diversity. A lot to talk about this hour with our guests in studio. Amy Holland is a children's librarian. Librarian is the word. She's at the Irondequoit Public Library. Amy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Matt Krueger is a children's services librarian, also at the Irondequoit Public Library. Matt, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Ed Popel is also known as Mrs. Kasha Davis, a performer from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. And a fixture in our community. Ed, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
And also here is Erica Jones, the systems advocate for the Center for Disability Rights. Erica, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Matt and Amy, why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit of background about how this program came together. You got a full calendar coming up, and this hour we're going to work through the various themes. We're also going to talk about how parents and families work with having kids understand diversity and embrace and celebrate the strength of it. But why don't we talk about how this came together and how it's coming to Irondequoit.
Sure. Well, like you mentioned, the Rochester Regional Library Council was offering a breakthrough grant. They wanted to see something that hadn't been done before and that could possibly be replicated by other libraries. And we kind of combined a few different ideas that we had seen that we thought would be unique and also really transformative and fun. A lot of libraries have been starting the Human Library program, but that was really for adult audiences. Where they would have people that you could check out and have a conversation and learn about their lives. And we also saw that a couple of libraries in New York and California had started doing drag queen story times. And we're like, well, wouldn't it be interesting if we could kind of combine those two ideas and do a whole series where we were introducing young children to different people from different backgrounds to really, like, as you mentioned earlier, promote self-acceptance and greater understanding of the world that we live in.
Okay, Amy?
And I think it came about at this particular time because after the November election, we really saw a need for promoting acceptance and inclusion. So that's kind of why now.
If this is successful, Amy, what happens?
Well, Matt and I have talked about that a little bit, and I think what we'd like to do is offer trainings to other librarians in the area and perhaps across the state and maybe even the country, depending on how
the world.
The world. but we would really like for other people to be able to replicate what we did.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is let our listeners know about the schedule coming up that starts Saturday, September 16th, and then you've got programs in October, November, December, February, and March. And it's all coming up 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. programs, so 1 hour long programs under the following topics: gender identity and expression, disability pride, African heritage pride, Muslim and immigrant pride, another on gender identity and expression, and then honoring veterans. And so, Amy, why don't you tell us a little bit about how each program is going to work, and both Amy and Matt can kind of tell us not only how the programs will work, but also how some of the themes were selected.
So the way we envision each particular program unfolding is, we kind of want to step back. It's not really about us. It's about our presenters. Mm-hmm. So we will help in our professional capacity as librarians and helping our presenters select books and possible activities to do with the kids and just making sure that they're developmentally appropriate for like a preschool age crowd. So then the actual program will be the presenter reading a couple stories that relate to their particular identity, kind of help to explain it and introduce it to the preschool set. And then the stories will be interspersed with activities or anecdotes that are relevant to their identity. And then we're going to end with a craft project because we're children's librarians and we love crafts.
Are you seeing, Amy, more in the way of children's books that include diverse characters, more diverse themes? Is that becoming more common?
It is becoming more common, but I think that there's still a long way to go. There's actually a movement within the children's literature community called We Need Diverse Books. So I think that's good because it's kind of drawing attention to the fact that we do need more diverse books, because it's really important for kids to read stories with characters that look like them.
Absolutely. Now, Matt, when it comes to the age-appropriate sort of selections here, you're aiming at pre-K age, and you know, you could have aimed at, you know, slightly older. You hear some discussion in psychology about when kids start to develop empathy, which is usually around six, but obviously it's different from child to child. And so give me a sense for why you think this is the right age and the right message to aim at with this age.
Sure. Well, you mentioned empathy. One of the other things about this was self-acceptance. You know, we know that gender identity is something that is formed in very young children by age of three or four. And we wanted to promote, as I've said, I think seven times now, self-acceptance, knowing that it's okay to be who you are. And I think that's the beginning of empathy, is accepting yourself first. I think, not to get too, you know, philosophical, but I think, you know, they say hurt people hurt people. If you're not accepting and loving of yourself, then you're going to lash out at other people. We also wanted something that parents of young children who feel maybe that they are living in a bubble and want to introduce their children to different opportunities can bring their children. Obviously, we're welcoming children of all ages, but we wanted something that was going to be able to reach, I would say, as wide a group as possible. So we wanted to make sure that it was also appropriate for very small children. I think older children will definitely get stuff out of this as well. Maybe they'll get something different out of it. But we wanted to start at a young age.
Ed and Erica are going to be able to talk to us about not only their views on this program, but what they're going to bring as part of their presentations in a moment. I see the phone ringing. And listeners, I would like to hear from you. And in particular, I try to say this often, and I mean it. The show is not about me, but I think about my 5.5-year-old son a lot this hour. I think about a conversation I had with another mom who had a conversation when her daughter turned six about the history of racism and the history of slavery in this country, and basically sat down with her six-year-old daughter who had no idea, and they just cried. But they did this. And her daughter's 13 now, and she says, you know, it's just remarkable to see how much her daughter instinctively moves towards defending others' rights and inequality. I'd love to hear from parents on this. When do you start having those conversations? I'm not sure there's a right day or a right moment or right age, but I'd love to hear from parents on this in particular. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And Mildred in Rochester wanted to call and talk about just that, so let me grab our first phone call. It's Mildred. Go ahead, Mildred.
Hi, Evan. First time calling since you've been on board.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thank you.
But I'm an African-American woman. And I have a son who's 25 now, but his dad is not African American. He is not black. And I would, if I'd been away from my kid, you know, like all day or something, I would, when I saw him, I'd say, "How's my baby? How's my beautiful black boy?" And finally, his dad said, "Why do you say that?" And forgive me, folks, but I'm going to tell you exactly how I answered him, because he has to hear it. Well, it's a good thing before the world starts calling him a nigger. I, you know, don't love that word, but it was like an inoculation. And I think it's important, because the world squashes our children, and we have to let them know they're okay. Not only are they okay, they're fab.
Absolutely. And so... Mildred, you started talking to your son about that when he was, again, about 6 months old?
6.5 months old, yes.
6.5 months old. And did you feel over time, how have you felt about that over time?
I think it was good. I think it was useful. I think it helped him. And because he's technically biracial, you know, people are always trying to put him in a category. He knows he's fabulous. He knows he's wonderful, and he identifies black. And that's not bad, and that's not good. It just is, and we're wonderful, and we love everybody.
Yeah, you know, Mildred, I remember just a couple days ago, my son and I were talking. He's 5 and a half. Mm-hmm. And I often say to him, you know, you're not better than anybody based on, you know, differences, how tall you are and, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of baseball player you are, whatever. You're not better than than anybody as a person. And the other night he said, Dad, why do you always say this? Like he's asking me.
They're brilliant.
You know, yeah, and so I feel like he's opening the door for me to go deeper soon, but it's hard as a parent to know when that right moment is, if that makes sense.
Well,
what do you think?
You know, I feel like when it came to the whole physical stuff, sex, I don't believe in answering any question that a kid can't formulate, number one. Saves me a lot of embarrassment. And number two, don't tell your kid anything that can't be sung at the top of their lungs in the Wegmans parking lot. And they'll let you know. They'll let you know.
Mildred, thank you. Thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for sharing the story. It's beautiful. I just admire you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Hey, now I've opened the floodgates. You're going to start hearing more from me, dear.
Oh, call anytime. Please do. Hold our feet to the fire.
Thank you,
Mildred. Thank you. And I'm glad Mildred called just to say she was sort of a first-time, long-time, which is a talk radio lingo. We have a lot of wonderful regular callers. But if you're someone who listens to this program and you haven't joined the conversation yet, you can always do that. 844-295-TALK, toll-free. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. You can find us on Twitter. I'm @EvanDawson. The producer, Megan Mack, is @MMackMedia. Ed, what do you think of when you hear Mildred saying, I wasn't going to wait. I wasn't going to let the world tell my child something about my child without my child understanding their own beauty. What do you
right.
think?
Right. Well, you know, this entire program and this, you know, the passion behind it is something that is ingrained in me from the beginning of my creation of Mrs. Kasha Davis. As a little boy, girl, gal, girl, boy, fella, whatever you want to call me, in Scranton, Pennsylvania in the 70s and 80s, I was squashed from being whatever it was that I was by my parents in order for them to protect me. I know that now. That was their intention. But I was a very flamboyant boy. I was very into art and creativity and gender expression. Part of it was that I just wanted to be fabulous, and I knew that I was. My mother was fabulous, and my grandmother was fabulous, and I thought, as a little boy, I thought, that's who I want to be. And so they thought in that time frame that they were protecting me by saying, no, you can't, you can't, you can't. And for years, I lived in a way of saying that I can't. I went to school for theater, but I also took a double major in business so that I can do the right thing. You know, I got married to the first girl that would say yes, because that's what you're supposed to do. And so, as you were mentioning, it wasn't so much the, I was an expert at getting in the acceptance of others, but I didn't accept myself. And it was painful for so many years until I finally did move to Rochester and make some life changes where I began that. But it took me until 42 years old to finally leave that safe day job, be Mrs. Kasha Davis, who is the motherly character. And now the next transition of having that opportunity of RuPaul's Drag Race, which is, you know, an international exposure, I can't tell you how excited I am about this, because I get messages from people all over the world saying, thank you for being positive about who you are and exposing, you know, so much about, you know, taking pride in who you are and whatever that is. And where else to start but with children?
And can I just go back a little bit to your childhood? You say looking back now, you think your family was trying to protect you.
I believe that they were.
Probably from something they didn't understand. Did you have resentment for a while?
Horrible.
Yeah.
So my mother, you know, this Italian diva, you know, really over the top, Avon district sales manager, you know, glamorous. My father, Ukrainian U.S. Marshal. And it was just he didn't want to have what they would call this fairy son. And so I had to make sure that I spoke in a lower voice. I had to keep my hands at my side. I had to make sure that I was approved for what I wanted to wear to school. I remember, you know, that's too girly. Go get changed. Everything from even being interested in being in theater, it was something that it was too flamboyant. And so there was a lot of years lost between myself and my parents because of the fact that I realized, you know, that I was being stifled. But as we matured, unfortunately, my mom passed, but we were able to reconcile some of those things. My father and I today, and that's the hope that I give to children, that you can have the conversations and they can evolve too. What's so great about a program like this is that it's not just that the kids get to say, yay, that's me, I identify with that individual, but the parents can say, okay, there are other adults who are living a very successful, prosperous, happy life, and I can see that for my child. Because my father just didn't understand anything beyond what he was exposed to in a small town. I mean, Scranton, at that time, it was, you know, it's very backward. And you just, it was never a positive role model there. So we have opportunities now as people who are on social media and television and things like that to give that back to those kids growing up today. And that's why, you know, this is so special for me.
And Ed, forgive me, you said your mother passed away, but your father is still alive?
He's still alive, yes.
And what kind of relationship do you have with him?
Much closer. You know, I will say, it's funny, I was on the front, there was a photo of Mrs. Kasha Davis on the front page of the Scranton Times, and he just called me and says, boy, Eddie, you look good, you know, you know, and that's a huge step for him. And I believe, yeah. You know, I also believe that, you know, he will at some point come to shows. He hasn't been to a show yet, but he's very aware of my schedule. Where are you going next? Oh, you know, good job with the show. Break a leg with the show. You know, he knows the lingo, the theatrical stuff. But he's very interested, and I have so much respect for that because I know that that's difficult for specifically dads, a lot of those macho men, to try to understand, you know, their outgoing, flamboyant son.
And again, you said his background is what?
U.S. Marshal Service. So military slash, you know,
of Ukrainian descent?
And oh yes, and Ukrainian. So very stoic. You know, we have all the overly emotional Italian side and then the strong like bull. You know, but that gives you that that balance, I guess.
And just hearing you're look good, Eddie. Would you have ever heard that in the 80s or the 90s?
Oh my gosh, no. You know, I guess I just always wanted to have my father be proud of me, you know, as a son. And I was named his name. And I was always told, you know, Eddie, you can't be gay. You have to carry on the name. And so to me, it was like, gay can't have children. Well, I'm married for 14 years and I have two stepdaughters. Okay, they're my daughters. I say stepdaughters because they have a wonderful mom, a wonderful dad, and a Ed. you know, but they are my daughters. And so he sees that now, and I see that now. I just didn't have those examples back then. And so to continue to provide that is wonderful. And our relationship grows. I'm not a counselor, and so I have to be careful with a lot of the things that kids write to me or mm-hmm. teenagers and things like that. But what I do say is that there are programs like this. There are, you know, look in your community. We have the internet now. Find support. There are people that are willing to talk and help you through.
Ed is talking about an upcoming program series at the Irondequoit Public Library. I'll get back to that schedule in a second. But one more question on just understanding your own identity and then the struggle that someone like Ed might go through, which is you want to please your father very badly, but you also have this understanding inherently of who you are, and that is in conflict with what will please him. And maybe you spend years denying who you are just to try to please family. Do you think if you were 5, 10, 15 years old now in 2017, I don't mean to date you, you're a little older than that.
Right.
Would it be different? Do you think that change would have happened differently in your life?
So I believe that I still fought and tried to be myself, mm-hmm. but I did it in the closet. I did it on my own time. It wasn't as public as it is now. And it just felt like I was disappointing people, family members, or even myself. I knew that, different doesn't have to feel bad. You know, and that's, so to me, I believe that, yes, some of the things in my life would have moved differently. I don't regret anything that's gone on because it's made me grateful for what I have today and helps me to communicate that with other people. But I certainly think that I would have taken more chances. I would have been more confident. I appeared very confident, but on the inside, I was scared to death because I was told for so long that it was wrong.
And so how do you feel about talking to kids as young as preschool age about these kind of differences and acceptance?
Well, I can't wait. You know, I think kids, first of all, they're, as I believe the caller had mentioned, they just say the most amazing things. And we often as adults and parents think to ourselves, oh, we didn't speak like that, or we didn't have that way of communicating as a child, etc. But they're amazing. And they will challenge you. They will sort of, quote unquote, make fun of you to try to figure it all out. And so I believe it takes a strong individual like ourselves, people who are very passionate about this, to be able to interact with them and banter back and forth and just make them feel as though, wow, they can do it. I've had performances where young boys will come up and they're so excited, they're shaking because they see something that's just so fabulous in their mind, and maybe they have, just a wig on or just love it and just want to appreciate it. And it's the best gift as a performer to see that. Because oftentimes with what we do in drag, you don't have a lot of children at the performances. It's a more of a nightclub type act.
Yeah.
So when you have festivals like Pride festivals or events like this, the children flock to it because they're interested in just finding their own way.
Talking to Ed Popel, Mrs. Kasha Davis, and Ed's presentation is the first on the schedule. And again, at the Irondequoit Public Library, the series coming up with Social Justice Storytime, the United Stories of America series starts Saturday, and they are Saturdays. All of these are Saturday dates if you're going to mark your calendars. So Mrs. Kasha Davis, Saturday, September 16th, from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., at the Kate Gleason, this is Kate Gleason Auditorium at the Central Library, which is, they're not all, the rest of these are at the Irondequoit Public Library, is that correct?
Correct.
I mean that, okay. So the first one is at the Kate Gleason Auditorium at the Central Library, Saturday, September 16th. Then the rest of the calendar is at the Irondequoit Public Library, Saturday, October 21st on Disability Pride, Saturday, November 4th on African Heritage Pride, Saturday, December 9th, Muslim and Immigrant Pride, Saturday, February 24th on Gender, Identity, and Expression. Kasha Davis coming back for a repeat performance and presentation. Popular demand, Ed.
Well, there you go.
And is the industry term, right? And Saturday, March 10th, the subject is honoring veterans. So if you want to call the program and join it as we talk about having these conversations with our kids, understanding acceptance, diversity, and celebrating our differences, it's 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Ed Popel, Mrs. Kasha Davis, you just heard from. In a moment, we're going to hear from Erica Jones, the systems advocate for the Center for Disability Rights. Amy Holland and Matt Kruger are here from the Irondequoit Public Library. All these programs are free.
Yes.
Open to the public.
Yes.
And we're going to take our only break of the hour and come right back and hear from Erica and your phone calls as well on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, a new report is called Hard Facts, and it lays out the numbers in detail after detail. People of color in the Rochester area are doing much worse here when it comes to income, home ownership, when it comes to graduation, all kinds of categories. Much worse in the Rochester area than in New York State and the national average. Why? What do the numbers show? We'll dig into it next hour. And welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Heather writes to us on Twitter. She's writing from Lockport, listening to the show on the WXXI mobile app. She says, what a great opportunity for kids and parents, talking about the program put on by the Irondequoit Public Library. She says, I wish it were offered in my town. She says, my 13-year-old and I are listening to the book The Hate You Give, and it sparked so many good conversations, but I don't always feel qualified to have them. That's interesting. Is that a book, Matt and Amy, do you know the book?
Yes, I actually have not read it myself, but we have multiple copies at the Irondequoit Public Library, and it's gotten a lot of good buzz this summer. It's been very, I would say, popular, raising a lot of great points and conversations.
Okay. Heather, thank you for that. And you know, interesting to hear her say, you know, she didn't always feel qualified to have the conversations. But I think that's part of what the series is about, is giving us a little bit more understanding and the language and the openness to work together to have these conversations. Because as Ed says, I'm not a counselor. You hear from a lot of people,
right,
and you want to be careful on that. But at the same time, you know, you can't always have a counselor involved in every conversation. And we all want to, you know, kind of learn to communicate better with each other. Shauna in Rochester wants to join the conversation on the phone. Go ahead, Shauna.
Well, I was just thinking, I was brought up, my father was a diplomat, and from the earliest time I can remember, there were pictures of him standing with people with all kinds of different skin colors and headdresses and eye colors and so on. And I had a friend when I was about 3 that was taller and skinnier than I was. And to me, I thought she looked very pretty. She was ebony black, but it didn't occur to me to make that any kind of, I mean, you know, we also had different eye colors. So what? And I have to say, I was a rather badly disabled child when I was born. And so anybody who would talk to me and talk to me as a human being and as an equal was tops in my book. And so she and I would pal around, and we just had a wonderful time. It never occurred to me to say she's black, and it never occurred to me to say, is that acceptable or am I acceptable? I mean, people come in all kinds of shapes and sizes and skin colors. I cannot understand this American obsession with the density, that is number per square inch, of dermal melanocytes. Dermal meaning in the dermis, and melanocytes meaning pigment secreting cells, of which whites have some, so they're not white like a piece of you know, Kleenex tissue, and blacks have a great many more, but they're usually not black as a telephone is black. You know, but why are we so stuck on this?
Sean, I don't know how to answer that, and I appreciate the phone call, but I think it's hard to deny that as kids get older, they're encountering more. I mean, you heard Mildred call earlier and say that she knew eventually her child was going to hear those racial epithets, and that she wanted to get out ahead of that. And I wish, Sean, it weren't the case. I mean, I look at my 5-year-old, and he loves anybody who just wants to play. He loves everybody. He does. But he especially loves anyone who just wants to play. And the notion of difference or feeling superior, I mean, I feel like that's got to be taught. I feel like that has to be ingrained outside of nature in some way. And here's an email from Emily. She emails the program to say, Evan, children of color don't get to choose when to have this conversation. We have it from the beginning. I take the point, Emily, and I'm glad you reached out to say so. Erica Jones is a systems advocate for the Center for Disability Rights. When it comes to disabilities, families with children of disabilities probably don't wait to have that conversation. That happens from the beginning, I imagine, as well.
Well, nowadays, you find that more and more, but I was actually a young girl in the 90s in a small village about 2.5 hours east of here. And most of the kids that I went to school with never even seen someone with a disability who could talk and walk on crutches and play with them. So they were fascinated. And
and again, what age?
It was elementary school in the 90s, so it was a time where we were somewhat in the community, but still mostly hidden away. I'd never heard of disability pride. I didn't know that that was something I could be proud of. And I've had to come a long way in developing that disability pride.
What was the interaction like with other kids who, as you say, were fascinated, but in a way that was mostly open and curious, or was there any derision? I mean, what was the range of experiences you recall?
When you're dealing with children who are, you know, between 3 and 6, they've never seen somebody with a disability before. They don't know. They have so many questions, and they throw those questions at you, which is totally fine. I find often it's the parents that come and say, oh, no, don't do that. You're going to offend them, and pull them away like you're some kind of a leper.
Well-intending parents, maybe, who don't want to offend?
It's a mixed bag, honestly. Okay. A lot of times I have dealt with parents who were very nasty and pulled their child away by the arm in any aggressive way. But there are some parents that generally just feel like any question's going to offend me or whoever it is. And that's definitely not the case. We don't, for the most part, we want to have these conversations, because the earlier you can talk to them, the easier it is for them to be accepting adults of people with disabilities.
Okay, we're talking to Erica Jones, who is, you're presenting on Saturday, October 21st, correct? Mm-hmm. So she'll be at the Irondequoit Public Library Saturday, October 21st, as part of their series on social justice storytime. She is a presenter from the Center for Disability Rights. And what's the message you're going to bring for kids, especially of that pre-K age?
I want to speak to not only the children there, but also maybe the children with disabilities, that it's okay to be proud to be disabled. It's okay to play with other children that are disabled. That it's okay to ask questions as well.
It's okay to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, imagine you've got a 4-year-old who's, you know, never met someone in a wheelchair. I'm thinking of the parents who might have, you know, yanked that kid's arm away saying, you can't. The parent might think, well, we don't want to make someone with a disability, you know, it's one thing to ask questions, but we don't want to make them feel so otherized. And so maybe the safe thing to do is to not ask about it at all. I guess the concern then is, then the child doesn't interact much at all, maybe.
Right. And that's actually hurting your child, because they're not gaining that social interaction. So later on, they might develop their own ideas from what they see in the media, which the message there most times is pity. We're something to be pitied.
Okay. And see, that's where I was going to ask you is, you know, we're talking about how kids learn, in this case, about other friends with disabilities. How do adults do? How do most of the adults you encounter on a day-to-day basis, say you go out to eat, do adults interact generally appropriately or the way that you'd like to see with the disability community?
When it comes to adults, it's kind of funny. I've heard things like, it's good to see you out today. Good for you. The most ridiculous things. And it just feels like when adults come up and ask questions, they're making it seem like I owe them an answer, which is completely different. Completely different than a child coming up and asking questions.
Questions just about your disability?
Oh, yeah. People will come up and say, so what do you got going on there? What's wrong with you?
Whoa.
And that's completely different than a cute little 4-year-old saying, hey, why are your legs broken?
Yes, there's definitely a different tone and base of knowledge and understanding that you would expect. And but the demeaning stuff that you're talking about, it's good to see you out today. I mean, that's, oh, boy. I mean, again, adults would probably say, well, we mean well. But again, that maybe that comes from a lack of socialization and interaction throughout life?
I think that's part of it. The assumption that a group of disabled people and you see someone who appears to be able-bodied and going up to them and saying, oh, wow, that's really nice of you to take this group out. Like we're in some kind of a dayhab program or some kind of a home, and we just get to go out in the community because this able-bodied saber gets to take us out. That's where the offense comes in.
Oh, man. Erica Jones with the Center for Disability Rights. So, again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Social Justice Storytime programs that the first Saturday of the series is Saturday, September 16th. That happens to be at the Kate Gleason Auditorium at the Central Library in Rochester. The rest of the series, October, November, December, February, and March, is at the Irondequoit Public Library. Schedule online, Matt and Amy?
Yes, we actually have a Facebook page for the series. So that is at United Stories of America, ROC, all one word. So all of the program dates are listed on there.
United Stories of America. Let's take a couple more phone calls. Seneca and Penfield next. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan. Hi, everybody. I just want to say I love that you are all putting together such a thoughtful range of topics and approaches to building a community that welcomes diversity, that really fosters inclusion.
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, Seneca, is this the kind of program you'd love to see, you know, sort of kids in your orbit attending and participating in?
Oh, absolutely. I have two daughters who are now teenagers, and, you know, as a parent, I did what I thought I could to help open their eyes in, you know, in ways and stages that were appropriate for them along the way, to help them understand that the world doesn't look like just what happens right in our house. But there are so many other perspectives out there that are beyond what were part of my everyday experience. And having something like this that brings in those other perspectives that I might not even be thinking about, I think is fantastic.
Thank you for the phone call, Seneca. And I know the guests here from the Irondequoit Public Library appreciate that. That's exactly what they're going for. Erica, Ed, you want to comment on that as well?
I really appreciate programs like this because while the parents don't typically want to have these conversations, this is a safe space to do exactly that. So I hope that not only do the children get something from it, I hope the parents do as well.
Okay, Ed?
And you're seeing so much more and more, as you mentioned earlier, that politically there, you know, things are, that there's a lot more healing and there's a lot more change that needs to happen as a country. But, you know, one of the things I think is so fun that we're having this conversation right after the VMAs, I don't know if any of you saw Pink speaking to her daughter about, you know, gender identity doesn't necessarily have to mean sexuality. And so her daughter thought that, she looked too masculine. And so she made a speech and just talked about the idea that, in general, you know, you don't have to follow a specific outline to be a female or male. And so it was a very, very powerful acceptance speech and acknowledgement to the beauty that and creativity of her daughter, and talking about how there are many performers and artists who are, you know, of all gender. And, you know, I think that this type of thing is, it's just immensely helpful, specifically now. We thought we were a lot further along, I think, in general than we're finding out in all of these areas.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. This is Mary Jane on the phone. Go ahead, Mary Jane.
Hi, Evan. Thank you very much for having me on.
Sure.
And thank you for bringing the topic up. I just wanted to mention a program that I am involved with and then why I'm involved with it. The program is actually a program from my nonprofit, which is Rochester Kids, but the program is called Rock Kids Connect. And it's the second year of the program, and what we have done is combine 16 kids from the Pittsford Central School System, my area, with 16 kids from a city school. Actually, it's a city charter school. And we get the kids together and do a little bit of academics, a little bit of play, you know, kickball, volleyball, and a little bit of, for lack of another term, diversity training. And the purpose of it, I think, which is kind of exactly related to what you're talking about, is that my group feels strongly that you can simply can't understand people whose paths you never cross, regardless of who those people are. So what we're doing, given the fact that Pittsburgh and, you know, people, kids in Pittsburgh often don't have those kind of interactions with kids from the city and vice versa, we are providing them with that interaction. The other comment that I wanted to make is that that personally, when your other guest was speaking, it reminded me of the fact that I work in an area, or I work in a building that serves a lot of transsexual individuals, and that prior to me working in that building, I had absolutely no interaction with transsexual individuals, and therefore I didn't feel comfortable with them. I didn't understand them. But just simply going in and out of my building and having conversations with folks has been a huge eye-opener. So just the importance of, and the need for all of us, adults as well as kids, to cross the paths often of people who are not, who don't look like us.
Mm-hmm. Mary Jane, thank you for the phone call. We'll go around the table. Ed, what do you think?
Well, and just listening to what she had mentioned regarding the trans community is that I'm reminded of something that I read, that anger is sort of the ugly stepsister of fear. And so oftentimes when we're confronted with something that's different, is, you know, you come out with hate. And it's because you're fearful, because you just don't know. So if we could just all pause, right, wouldn't that be wonderful to just take a second and try to understand? Some of the advice, too, that I give a lot of kids is that when you're being asked questions about your individuality or otherwise, is to almost thank them for the question. You know, as my mother told me early on, kill them with kindness. You know, that's a great question. You know, she used to joke with me. She used to tell me to tell the bullies that I love your blouse. I'm like, Mom, that's going to really turn things the wrong direction if I call their football jersey a blouse. But I use it in my act to this day because it's hysterical to me that my mother would tell me that. But she said it would do just what the room did. We'd laugh
about
it.
Don't make me laugh at this, Ed. Don't make me laugh at this.
Well, exactly. That we would laugh together and explain and talk and communicate versus hate, anger, fight. And so a lot of this is that purpose. And I'm, you know, listen, this is not easy for a child to do, or for somebody who's never experienced it before. So I'm going back to something that you had mentioned, too. I wanted to say is the adults ask questions. Boy, do I get some funny questions. You know, so how do you shop in Wegmans dressed like that? You know, and as an individual, I'm a drag queen. I don't live as a woman. So I don't shop as Mrs. Kasha Davis in Wegmans. And it would be ridiculous if I did, because it's very over the top type of a look. I'm not trying to be and live as a woman. But I get so many questions. How do you go to the bathroom? You know, adults ask the questions that really, yes, the kids ask, but they're curious. And I do respect that. And I feel as though that if we can answer some of those questions and put them at ease, that it does help. But it is definitely a different feeling coming from an adult. It feels more like there's a joke, or there's something's coming after this question. You may take offense. But again, the more that we can answer, the more they'll know.
Well, let me ask our other guests to weigh in to kind of add to that. And I got a comment from a listener named Evelina who says, Evan, this makes me think about what you said about what we teach kids about strangers, that the unknown equals dangerous. And I really try to avoid the soapbox on this program because, again, it's not about me. But man, as a parent, I am already tired of the influence society is trying to tell my son that strangers are dangerous, that everyone else that you don't know is to be feared. What a toxic message that is. I mean, most people who live, especially in suburban streets, don't know anybody who's at least three doors away. What are you telling every kid, everyone on your street is out to get you if you don't know who they are? And then think about how segregated we are. And then you start saying, well, we're just scared of the other. Why do we do this? So, librarians, there's this book that I actually threw in the garbage.
Yep.
I remember you talking about this the last time.
And I just can't get over it. It's Danger Rangers Danger Alert. And the message being, I mean, it's about a child who gets abducted by a stranger and police have to swoop in and cut the car roof open to pull him out to safety. And the message is, you know, stay away from other adults you don't know. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. So anyway, I doubt that'll be in your library. But I will just say that I'm really uncomfortable. I understand wanting to protect children, and I do. I'm not saying, kids, get in the car with anybody who picks you up. But the media didn't do a good job, especially in the 80s and 90s, of making parents feel any better. The Dateline NBCs of the world have not done anybody any favors, because that's not most of our society. And making kids fear anybody else they don't know, let alone someone who might not be exactly like them, I think is toxic. I'm off the soapbox. Erica, you want to add to that? What do you think?
Well, I have to agree. And in any way, It's usually not strangers you have to be fearful of. So I do think that that is a really negative and toxic message and leads to a lot of, I shouldn't talk to this person. And so I completely agree with you.
Tell my boy, not only say hi to people, smile at everybody.
Right.
Smile. So, Amy, what do you think?
I just think that it's a lot harder to have negative feelings towards someone if you're face to face with them and you're having a conversation. It makes me think about how it's so easy for people to be hateful on the internet. And I think part of that is because you're not face to face with a person. But when you're having that conversation and you're interacting as human beings, like, that does a lot to foster understanding and acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Matt?
Well, going back to, I think one of the callers, Shauna, saying, you know, she grew up exposed to people who were different, and so she never kind of understood why other people didn't. That's what we're trying to provide for more people. I think if more people had that experience, then more people would feel the way she does, and that's hopefully what our series will do. It'll expose more people at a younger age to people who are different, so they'll grow up being more understanding and accepting.
Okay, Ed?
Wow. So I'm just listening to... I, when you brought up the social media hate, I just zeroed in on how horrible that is today for our kids. Because as somebody who, you know, the fans of RuPaul's Drag Race are young, and they don't just say, I don't like you. They say, die.
Ugh.
To my age group. And so to me, I'm like, well, that's a ridiculous thing. You know, my response is, oh my goodness. Now let's talk about this. You know,
I love your blouse.
Yeah. I love your blouse. What? You know, but this is how easy it is to have that level of bullying over the internet.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing for you. Imagine you're 14.
Right. And you believe that the whole world sees that, and you believe that everyone believes that because it's on you know, one of the social media platforms.
Well, what a great conversation that just started this hour, and it's going to continue all throughout the fall into the winter, starting Saturday, September 16th, the first event with Ed, as Mrs. Kasha Davis, at the Kate Gleason Auditorium at the Central Library, and then the rest of the programs on Saturdays in October, November, December, February, March at the Irondequoit Public Library. Schedule and information where, Matt and Amy?
At United Stories of America, ROC, on Facebook.
There you go. So I want to thank Matt Krueger and Amy Holland for coming in and telling us all about it from the Irondequoit Public Library, United Stories of America. Really interesting stuff. Thank you both for being
here. Thank you so much for having us.
From the Center for Disability Rights, Erica Jones, sharing her experience, and she's going to be sharing with kids as well and families on Disability Pride on Saturday, October 21st. See you there. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Ed, Mrs. Kasha Davis performing. Boy, I keep saying performer. I think of you as a performer. Presenting.
Yes. Well, it's all a performance.
Twice.
From the moment I wake up in the morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For being here. I really appreciate that. Much more connections coming up.